praise God. Because that is why we are here. We serve the Creator of the universe. We serve a gracious and loving God. We serve a risen Savior who came to give us eternal life. We are here to praise God. Last week we began our study into the book of Ephesians. The letter by Paul that many scholars, or at least I'm labeling as the handbook for the church. And last week we discussed making some goals for our church. And in order for us to reach people with the love of Christ, to go and make them disciples, we need to make this congregation exactly what Christ intended the church to be. And there are several characteristics of a healthy church, and it should be our resolution to take on these characteristics. And last week we looked at the first resolution is to be a praise and prayer focused church. To be focused on salvation through Christ for all. To maintain unity within the body of Christ. To equip our members for service. To encourage individual lifestyles of holy living. Encourage Christian-based households. Take Christ with us to work. And most importantly, be ready for spiritual battle. Last week we looked at our starting position. That we were to build the foundation of our church and our lives with Jesus Christ as our cornerstone. Everything we do as a church and as individuals should point directly to Jesus. We do this by using the teachings of the apostles and the prophets of the Bible as our foundation. And when our individual lives point to Jesus, and we work with other fellow believers to point people to Jesus, we become an integral part of God's holy temple. This week, we take a look at praise and prayer in our church. In the NIV translation, some form of the word praise is mentioned over 363 times from Genesis to Revelation. Praise is talked about 363 times. And some form of the word pray or prayer is mentioned over 367 times. Seems to me that this is an important concept. 66 books in the Bible and over 367 times. That's a lot. It was such an integral part into the life of Paul that of the 13 letters attributed to Paul, he spends time praising God and talking about prayer in the first chapter of all of them. Think about it. In all of 13 of Paul's letters, the first thing he focuses on is praise and prayer. You couldn't have a conversation with Paul without him saying, "All glory to God, let's pray." God deserves our glory. God deserves our love. God is everything because He's great and He's wonderful, and let's pray about it. That was the life of Paul. And ask yourself, how much time each week do you spend in prayer? How much time each week do you spend in praise of God? Because I think some of us spend time in prayer, asking and seeking for things, but how many of us spend time actually praising God? How many of your conversations during the week involve genuine praise to God? Oh, we say God's name a lot, don't we? But not usually in praise, is it? How many of your social media posts during the week involve genuine praise to God? How many phone calls, how many texts, how many things have you done to share your praise and love of God? Even our weekly Sunday worship is supposed to be a time to praise God, a time to offer Him our prayers. But I cannot begin to tell you how many times in my life in the church, and especially as a pastor, that people have complained about a Sunday service. It was too long. It was too flat. I didn't get anything out of it. Oh, I didn't like that hymn we picked. I don't know it. Notice how most of the complaints are about what you want, what your expectations are. But if we are honest with ourselves, many times we are just doing acts of routine and not true acts of praise and prayer. I mean, we just did the doxology, a true, dedicated praise to God. And how many of you within your heart gave God that glory? Or how many of you just repeated the words that you've heard for the last 60, 70 or plus years that you can say off the top of your head and you know every note without fault and it just rolls off your tongue until I get done blurbing and saying the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and now we're going to do the next thing. If this has ever been you, and I'm guilty, ask yourself, did you come here to serve yourself or did you come here to serve God? Did you come for what's in it for you? Or have you come to humbly submit yourself in full praise and worship to God? Because one thing's for sure, we're not an amen or congregation. We don't have a lot of people that are singing it out and raising their hands and doing all kinds of things because we're kind of looking around like, I don't want to be that person. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we all have times when we get it right. But getting it right sometimes is just not enough. Because, see, if we truly have Jesus as our cornerstone, when we're really trying to live it out, when we're truly open to God, then we should have the Holy Spirit in us. And we should always be in praise of Christ. And we should always be in prayer. And most of the time, we should be doing both at the same time. So we're going to look at some examples throughout the book of Ephesians, starting in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. For he chooses us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Do you see how Paul opens up? And he says, not by me, but by God. It's not me, it's God doing it. It's God who's given us love. It's God who's given us his Son, Jesus Christ. It is all of this great and glorious things that God has given us, and we should give him our praise for his love. God has given us blessings, spiritual blessings. His God who wants us to be his children. And Paul doesn't stop there. He continues on in verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and according with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. People, we have God's grace. We have redemption. We have forgiveness. We have eternal life. We should be praising God every day for this gift. And he continues on in verse 9. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. You see, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are to give our lives to Christ. We are to live according to his will. We are to live our lives in such a way that it praises and glorifies God. Not just for the limited hour or so on Sundays, but each and every day. And he writes in verse 13, "And you were also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Do you understand that the creator of the heavens and the earth have given us his seal? He has claimed us as his children. He has rescued us from eternal damnation to be called children of God. People, that is worthy of praise. And in verse 15, he goes on to say, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." He said, "I have not stopped praying." Isn't that a great concept? Paul was continually praying for the people of Ephesus. And how did he pray for them? In 17, he says, "I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe." He prays for enlightenment. Pray that we may receive the riches of his holy people. Pray that we receive the power of God. And you know what? We're supposed to have the power of God. And he talks about that power in verse 19. He says, "That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come." Verse 22, it says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything and every way." This scripture, Paul tells us, God wants us to give us the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Do you believe that? You can have the same power from God that raised Christ from the dead. Then why are we still living dead? Probably because most of us have yet to fully set Jesus as our cornerstone. Most of us have not devoted ourselves to prayer and praise. See, God wants to be close to us. God wants to bless us. God wants to empower us. And when we put Jesus as our cornerstone, we do what? We build our foundation on the teachings of the apostles and the prophets, which means we grow closer to God through his word. And when we go to God in prayer, we are talking directly to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And through prayer, we get to know our God. Through word, we get to know our God. And once we get to know our God and we get to know how much he loves us and what he did for us through Jesus Christ, how can we not do anything but praise God? If I came in and just gave you a check for $5 million, what would you do all week long? Wow, I just got $5 million. That was wonderful. That was a great gift. That was amazing. I can't believe it. Can you know what I can do with $5 million? Yet we are given the gift of eternal life and the power from God. And when was the last time you told anybody about your faith? See, when our lives are filled with praise and prayer, we become a great witness to the lost people around us. See, we need to be a person who genuinely loves and praises God. And we see again in Ephesians 3 that Paul offers a prayer, another prayer for them. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Isn't that something? I think that's why we don't always praise God, because we don't really grasp how wide and how long and how deep is the love of Christ. And Paul continues on. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is a great prayer to pray every day for our church and other fellow believers. If you want help in your prayer life, if you're not sure what to pray, how to pray, look at prayers like this in your Bible. Our Bible is full of prayers that you can use. You can use this prayer. The book of Psalms is nothing but a bunch of prayers and songs and praises to God. You can open up any one of Paul's letters. You can read the Gospels. Jesus prayed. There are hundreds of prayers in our Bible. And on top of that, there's online devotionals. There's books and books and books and books on prayers. And you can use music to pray and praise God at the same time. Music is powerful. And you know, each week we have a weekly prayer and we have prayer cards. And each week I am in prayer for you. We have this nice little tool. Take it home. Pray for people. Prayer was an important part of the life of Jesus. You'll find Jesus praying in temples, praying when he was tempted by Satan, praying with his disciples, leaving the crowds to go and pray alone. And of course, his most intense time of prayer, when he prayed in the garden the night of his death, or the night before he died. Prayer was essential to the life of Jesus. Prayer should be essential in our lives. And how often should we pray? What should we pray for? Paul writes about prayer for a third time in his letter to the Ephesians. So this is the handbook for the church. And this is the third time he said pray and pray and pray. Ephesians 6:18, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." Isn't that something? On all occasions with all kinds of prayers. "And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Pray for each other. Pray and pray and pray. In verse 19, he says, "Pray also for me, that whenever I speak words, that words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Folks, that right there is a prayer for your pastor. That is a prayer for our church leaders. Ask my family, I need you to pray for me. I need your prayers more than you know. I challenge you to look at your prayer life and your praise time. As I mentioned before, we do not give God enough praise time. I mean, I mentioned our bulletin a minute ago. Every week, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 praises, and the rest of our list is our concerns. There's nothing wrong with our concerns. On all occasions, all things and all things, take it to God. Pray for one another. That part is good. But we're not praising God. God becomes our 911 God. God becomes our help me when I need help, please God. Instead of our joy saying, God is doing great things. God is working in my life. God has blessed me. God has given. God has done. God is great. God is glorious. We need to work on our praise, people. And we have a lot to praise God for. And if nothing else, we need to praise Him for our salvation. Do you understand that? Do you understand that we are unworthy to be in the presence of God because of our sin? And because of our sin, we are only worthy of eternal death. We have our physical life, and we can all assume we're all going to pass away because we've seen it. You're born, you live, you die, right? But that death is not the end. For we are more than our physical being. We are spiritual. And God created us to be in His image. And sin keeps us from being in His image. And out of His love, from the very beginning of time, from the very beginning when Adam and Eve sinned, God's gracious love began the redemption process. And today our redemption comes to us in the form of Jesus Christ. Because see, our sins need to be atoned for. Somebody has to pay the price. Somebody has to pay the penalty. Somebody has to take on all of that in order to us to be worthy to be with God. And Jesus Christ came and was that very source for us. So that we may not just have life here on earth. So that we may not just experience His blessings in our present life. But that we may be experiencing life eternal. And we're learning in the book of Revelation how our world is fallen and it's upside down and Satan is pulling us away from God. And how Jesus Christ came and His death and His resurrection dealt the fatal blow. Satan can't win. But we have to make a choice to follow God. We have to have a choice to accept Him as our Savior, to allow Him to work, to cleanse, to renew us, to redeem us. People, salvation is real. Baptism as an infant does not make you a follower of Christ. Going through the ritual of confirmation alone isn't enough to make you a Christian. Coming to church every week is not enough to make you a Christian. Putting money in the plate is not enough to make you a Christian. Serving at the food pantry, doing all this other work. Works are not good enough. There's nothing we could ever do to deserve God's favor. It is only by His love. It is only by His love that He sent us His Son, Jesus Christ, to die and take on that penalty. And because of His great love, we can experience a different kind of love. We can experience a different kind of power. And folks, it's time we experience it. Not just go through the motions, but truly, truly experience it. But you see, that's the thing with God's love. He doesn't force this on us. He gives us a choice. It's a cooperative grace. It's a cooperative love. It's a covenantal love where God says, I am providing this to you. Are you willing to claim it and do your part? And our part is to come to God, give Him glory, confess our sins, give Him our life, and say, God, it's been my way. It needs to be your way. You are a great and loving God. I humbly submit my life to you. Let me live my life in honor of you. Forgive me, redeem me, and cleanse me. And today, we have our elements. And for a lot of you, this has been a routine and this has been a ritual. For some of you, it's a very meaningful thing. But today I want you to really think about this. What does this all really mean to you? What value do you put on these elements? Because I promise you, the Holy Spirit is present. And the Holy Spirit, through His power, will do something through these elements and through you, if you allow it. It's got to be something that you grab a hold of. It's got to be something that we, as a church, grab on and say, these are the foundations of our beliefs. Because if we don't believe in a great and sovereign God, and if we don't believe that His Son, Jesus Christ, truly came, truly lived and died for our sins, He was truly risen and taken to seat at the right hand of the Father, then what we're doing here is for naught. It's a nice gathering. Happy to see you. See you again next week. But that's not what it's about. It's about us growing in faith. It's about us receiving that power. And today you can receive that power. Do you want that power? Do you want the power of God dwelling in you? Do you want it to grow so that you're like Paul and every conversation you have is about God? Whoo, God is great. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I have life. I have life eternal. When was the last time you told someone that? Or have you ever told somebody that? Have you ever said to somebody, how you doing? I'm great. I'm a redeemed child of God. How are you today? Wow, look at this weather. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. We have a pretty awesome God to make all these different things happen, isn't it? You see the grass grow and the trees bloom and this and that. Isn't that an amazing God? Isn't that what our world needs? People that always redirect you back to Him, to give Him the glory, to see God's goodness, to see Him at work, to see His light, to see His love. We got to just stop being the church. And we got to be the church. We got to be the temple. We got to be God's body. We got to be His hands and His feet and His eyes and His ears and His love. We got to be all of these things. And together we can do that. And this is not a solo journey. That's why Jesus called us into communion with one another. That's why we're called to share this cup together and honor and worship of God. To remember what His Son, Jesus Christ, did for us. That on the night that He was going to be arrested and betrayed, when He shared that final meal, and just remember, everybody at that table got to eat. Judas got the bread and the cup. Peter got the bread and the cup. John and Thomas and all the others who would run away, who would deny Him, who would falter, who would stumble, who would be imperfect, who would have arguments later, who would have disagreements with each other. All of them got to share in the same bread and the same cup. And that is the same cup that you get to share today. And no matter your faults, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, Jesus Christ on that night offered this not to just his disciples, but to all future believers. And that night he took the bread and he broke it. And he gave it to them. He said, "Take, eat, eat of this. This is my body broken for you. I'm going to feed you, nourish you, and give you life through my sacrifice." And likewise, he took the cup. And just as he prayed before he broke the bread, he prayed and gave what? Glory to God. He gave thanks to God. Praise you, God. Everything he did, praise you, God. He said, "Take this cup, cup of the new covenant, the cup of blood that will redeem you, my blood that will cover your sins, my blood that will redeem you and make you worthy to be standing in the presence of God. Take this and drink from it, all of you, for the forgiveness of sins." As we prepare our hearts for these elements, let us take a moment of silent reflection. Let us take a moment to think about what Jesus Christ did and how much love God has for us. And let us confess our sins and make ourselves right with God. Oh, Heavenly Father, of all people here, I am the least worthy to stand. Lord, I know in my life and this week and the weeks before how many times I have failed you. How many times I have contradicted your teachings. How many times I have said awful things to people. How many times I've ignored the needs of others. How many times I've failed to be obedient and listen to you. But Lord, like everyone else here, I humble myself before you today. I acknowledge that I am unworthy of these gifts that you are presenting to us. But Lord, I glorify you for being the great and loving God that you are, and that you are faithful, that you are just, and you are forgiving. And Lord, today I repent of the sins not only of what I have not done, but of all the things I have done. Lord, I ask you to come and cleanse my heart. Lord, I ask your cleansing power to be felt in all the people here today. To know that no matter how small or how great their sin is, that they know that they can be forgiven in this very moment. For when we truly confess to you, we are truly forgiven by you. Unworthy of your grace, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Now, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pronounce that we have been forgiven. Lord, we ask your hand of blessing through your Holy Spirit and your Holy Son seated at your right hand, that these elements of bread and juice become so much more to us than that, that they truly become for us the body and the blood of Christ, so that we as your church become a redeemed people by your blood, forgiven transformed for the work and the service of your glorious name, to go and transform the world by sharing your good news. Lord, this we ask and invoke through your name, your Son's name, and the name of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Someone that we can go to and lay our burdens on. Someone that we know will love us no matter what. God who continually offers us forgiveness. A God who is willing to empower us. A God who is willing to give us wisdom beyond understanding. A God that is willing to give us the peace, that assurance in knowing that we share in victory, that we share in the eternal promises of God. Folks, we need to make that turn. We need to make that turn. We got to grab a hold of this. We got to take that power. And we got to go from here to there. And we need to exalt God. We need to live it. We need to pray it. We need to do it. Because it's ready. The Holy Spirit is ready to act and empower us like we've never seen before in this church. And the question is, are you ready for it? Are you willing? Because it will come at a cost. And it may come at the cost of the world's opinions. But I'll tell you what, I'm not worried about the world's opinions today. Because we've got a messed up world. I am worried about a one holy God that loved me enough to send his Son to provide forgiveness and salvation to me. And I don't know about you, but that's who I'm going to live for today. That's who I'm going to live for tomorrow. And tomorrow he will have my praise, and tomorrow he will have my prayers. Who are you going to live for? I hear these words from Paul. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Do you believe that? That God can do in this church immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine? That's the God I believe in. According to the power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us depart here with the full knowledge, love, and power of God. Go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.